Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
David Doval, good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Saturday. How are you?
I'm great, man. How about you?
Good.
Good. Good to be back.
How was your vacation?
Outstanding. It doesn't matter what you're doing. Whatever you're doing, it's good, right?
It's better than some of the crazy. That's good. Well, welcome back. We're glad to have you back.
Thanks.
We missed you, but not so much that we didn't really enjoy Ron Jarvis. Ron was with us last week. You know, what was funny is he was with us the exact same weekend the year before.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was only like 6 months, but it had been an entire year. Go figure. It's, you know, blame everything on COVID.
Well, I think my son got married. Was a year ago. So I think that's okay. About right. Yeah.
Yeah. We drove to Wilmington last night, and so I'm coming from Wilmington, but the COVID gas prices are kind of crazy.
Yeah. Lovely.
Dang those. Anyway, it's all right. We're here with family. It's a good thing. But Ron was awesome, and we'll talk about that. There's a couple things that we'll talk about from his stuff, but give us a call. Two more hours. Well, not quite now, but 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. We would love to hear from you. David, I have like the proverbial dog's breakfast of topics again this morning. I want to talk a little bit, if we could, about like flashing, roof flashing in particular, because with the cold weather, not so crazy bad. And our climate is where we both grew up. But certainly some issues to think about from a flashing perspective, roof penetrations in particular, and then buttoning up the house from a, you know, penetrations at large perspective for the winter. Would love to talk about protecting outdoor furniture and things like that going into the winter. We always talk about cleaning them up, but there's probably one or two things we could do for stuff that's going to sit outside over the winter. We'll talk about that. Let's see. I want to talk a little bit about, interestingly enough, we had Ron Jarvis last week. I am not clever enough to plan this the way it turned out, but we had Ron last week. And then this past week, the EPA announced a bunch of annual awards, and the Home Depot won three of them. So we'll congratulate Ron on that. That was actually pretty cool. Want to talk a little bit about, well, we'll talk about it when we talk about things that penetrate the walls of the house. I saw an interesting deal on fence posts, and particularly if you go on the cedar route. And cedar is fairly popular. I don't recall it as much, I guess, in Charlotte. In Atlanta, it's like everywhere. I'm not sure why that minor geography makes a difference. But an interesting installation method for cedar fencing, particularly the fence posts. I have some cool products. Some are just cool and you'd never ever buy them. Some you want to buy. I did, by the way, break down and buy a chainsaw, and I did not buy a gas-powered chainsaw. I'm amazed. This isn't the Ron Jarvis show, but I talked to Ron. Ron has wood at lot. He cuts firewood in his spare time because he just gets bored. I don't know. But he's cuts a lot of firewood. And I think when he was, anyway, I asked, you know, about the chainsaw, and he uses a battery powered chainsaw. He says, John, if you keep that blade sharp, it is every bit as good as a gas powered saw. I went ahead and bit the bullet, and I'm amazed. I'm totally blown away. He's right. Just like I could fell the same size tree, not that I'm into that, but I had a big old limb come out of a tree and got out there with it, and it cut through it like a hot knife through butter.
Yep.
That's a little bit of hyperbole, but worked really well. Anyway, I'm sorry for that sidebar, but we'll talk about some cool products. And that, I don't know. Do we have emails, David?
I have a few. Have to apologize. I haven't had time to answer them. I've got a couple while we were out of town, and then I think a couple this week. So I'll be working on those.
Okay. So and then look, it's the Home Improvement Show. We've got 2 hours of whatever is really important to you. That's our preferred discussion topic, is just getting calls. Because I was kind of a bad boy last week with Ron on. We charged down our agenda / outline flow of show. Kind of, I called out the numbers a few times, but not a lot, just because we were just down the path on the topics that we wanted to talk about from a sustainability, because it's very important. And so we didn't leave a lot of room for callers. So if you wanted to ask some questions last week and I didn't give you a chance, this is the week to catch up. And 704-570-1110 would be the way to do that. You can always go to askjohnanddave.com and click on the questions button. Send us a note that way. Also, good information out there. And David got a lot of feedback. For some reason, the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, people are going online and listening live to the show, or going back and listening to the podcast and stuff. So the good news is lots of good information getting shared. So if there's something you want us to talk about, give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're going to take our first break, and then we'll be back to answer your home improvement questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Give us a call this morning. We'll chat. We'll talk about what's important to you. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. David, I do want to do a quick shout out to Ron. Ron Jarvis was with us last week. He's the Chief Sustainability Officer at the Home Depot. I've worked for Ron, and Ron, and worked with Ron. I think we figured out last week since 1994 when he first joined the Home Depot, and pretty amazing character. And I think what I like most about Ron is, well, there's a lot of great things, but in the sustainability arena, David, it's hard to find sometimes people who are well balanced. And I'm just speaking candidly. There are people who by their conversations and behaviors seem to think that we should get rid of automobiles, get rid of airplanes, take all of our indoor plumbing away, just radical nonsense, right? And then there's people who are like, to heck with all of it. Global warming is a bunch of garbage, and we don't care, and we're just doing whatever heck we want. And if I want to have, you know, 5 dualies as my vehicles of transportation, I'm going to do it. And Ron is absolutely one of the most passionate people I've met with respect to sustainability, and yet is very practical. Like, hey, certain things are going to happen. Like last week, he explained from an electricity perspective, you can talk about all kinds of different things, but fundamentally, you're at the mercy of whatever grid you're on, right? So if your grid is producing electricity using fossil fuel, whatever you do is not as good as if your grid is producing electricity using hydroelectric, you know, power, stuff like that. So I'm not going to rehash last week's show. But what I love is, like, he, I don't know if it's okay to say this anymore. He is a capitalist and believes in, like, shareholder value for, but still crazy, crazy passionate about product and all the things and how he breaks everything down. I've watched him just solve problems in dealing with people, and it's pretty amazing. But anyway, so all of that, sorry, was concurrent with his visit to us, and we didn't plan it this way. Or maybe our show is just so influential, David, that the EPA was listening and said, holy cow, that Ron Jarvis and Home Depot are amazing. We're going to give them 3 awards. So last week, why are you laughing at that?
No, that salt air must be strong this week.
yeah, it's more than salt air. But anyway, there were three awards: the Smart Way Excellence Award, and that is awarded by the EPA for impact on transportation emissions. So how you move. For the Home Depot, it'd be how you're moving product from point to point. Certainly the work with the distribution stuff is probably critical with that. I don't know. I shouldn't speculate because I don't honestly know. The second is the WaterSense Partner of the Year for water conservation. And the third is the Safer Choice Partner of the Year. And that's for products that perform and or contain ingredients that are just safer for the environment and for users, for the people. Go figure, we're worried about people. So just congratulations, Ron. I know if Ron was here, I have two things. He would turn all red in the face because he blushes very easily. And he would point to all the different people, you know, who support him and say, look at the great work that they've done, because that's kind of the leader that he is. But we genuinely appreciate his leadership and thanks, because, you know, that's a big company trying to make a difference. So we're grateful for that. All right, David, one of the things that I wanted to catch up with this morning, for some reason, I don't honestly know why. I guess I kind of time it to some of the things that I do at my own house. But I wanted to talk this week a little bit about roofing, roof flashings, and in particular with an eye toward or a thought toward roof penetrations and places where water freezing and thawing can really do some serious damage. And I'm particularly thinking about the roof, but we don't have to live and die there. But from a flashing perspective, or I don't know, help me get my head wrapped around it or articulate it better, but I'm thinking that there's flashing where like a vertical wall meets a vertical plane meets a horizontal plane, and the coverings are different, shingles or even metal roofing maybe, and then penetrations, flashings around penetrations like vent pipes, the chimney's a huge place, I think, and you would know that. So maybe the first thing that we talk about, because I know that you have built these, is a situation where you've got a roof, you know, pitched toward a chimney. So that means all the water on the roof that comes rushing down hits the chimney, you know, a vertical plane, and it's stopped there. And that's sure. Just the perfect place for water to get in. So there's a couple ways to deal with that, right?
Yes.
And can we talk about like a cricket first?
Yeah, and that's the preferred method. So rather than using the chimney as a dam, what you're doing is you're installing a reverse gable or a regular roof that just it looks like a normal roof, but it just turns perpendicular to the plane of the roof coming down. And so as the water comes down, it hits basically this wedge and it sheds it right and left. And it's
either side of the chimney.
Either
right?
side of the chimney, and you want that to shed that water away from the chimney. And of course, the chimney still will get step flashing, and then counter flashing. And we can talk a little bit about what those two things do. But that's the preferred method. That will generally, and it's used for other things too. I mean, you know, you can use a cricket for any place that you have to divert the water. It works well.
So I don't know that we help our listeners in any way getting deep into like actually application of flashings and what should be the valley material when you build the cricket and stuff like that. I just don't think we'll help anybody with that. But I think if we could talk a little bit about like if what just give real quick, what is step flashing? Because they should be looking to see, we should be looking to see that that's how different places on the house are flashed, mm-hmm. and how is it installed correctly? And then maybe we could take a minute on how would leaks manifest if that wasn't done right. So maybe we could sleuth our way back to that being the issue. But so what is step flashing first? It's got nothing to do with stair treads, correct?
Well, no. But it's kind of but it's about the same method, right? I mean, it's the same thing. You're stepping up. So it's just flashing that's bent, and they're the same size, and it goes, it intermingles with the shingles, and it would go up against a, when the shingles butt into a flat surface or a wall or a chimney, as you go up, you have to have some type of flashing. And the reason it steps is because it's under each individual shingle, but you start from the bottom and work your way up, so that the flashing above it is sitting on top of the flashing or the shingles below, so it continuously sheds the water. So anything that's running down the roof has no chance to leak or go up underneath the shingles and down in that crack between, say, a wall in the roof plane. About the only time you would ever have a problem with that is if you were pressure washing. You could blow water back up underneath it.
Or you could push water up underneath it.
Right, but that would be the only way. So that is a step flashing.
All right. So if I have a brick veneer and I'm having a new roof put on, how should that step flashing all work?
Well, they would lay a piece of flashing that's on the roof deck and then up the wall, and then they would put a shingle, and then as you put your next shingle up, there would be another piece of flashing and then the shingle, and you would just keep working that all the way up. Now the problem that you have left is that on a house that has siding, that flashing that goes up the wall would be behind the siding, and so there would be no chance for water to get in that. Now we would always tape that anyway, behind it with a butyl tape, behind the siding, just in case you had condensation in behind that siding or water got behind it, it wouldn't run down in that flashing. But if you have a brick wall, you would have to put what's called counter flashing. And so they actually cut a line in the brick, not very deep, and then they fold the flashing in over, and they put about 1/4 inch of the flashing in there, and then they let the other part of it hang down over the step flashing.
And then they'll like a poly into that.
Exactly. Put a little polyurethane caulk into that joint, and you'd be good to go. And we're right up against the break.
Yeah, we're right against. We take our break, and I want to talk about just how we would see some leaks and where we might look if we see some leaks manifesting. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to take a break. We're at 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll chat after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Dolville.
We have some lines open. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a shout. We're talking about flashing, roof flashing right now. We're going to dive into just protecting penetrations, you know, through your house overall as we go into the colder weather, into winter. And we're concerned about a couple of things. Number one is water penetration, always, any time of year. But also dealing with some of these things correctly solves problems with insects and so on, because it's the time of year. I think John Hancock has a commercial on here, says where the bugs are looking for a nicer place to hang out, and that's your house. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. But David, we talked about step flashing and cutting in for brick and so on. I think it's important for people. I don't know that anybody needs to be able to do it by the time we're done speaking of it, but they should at least understand that if work is being done at their home, that that's kind of job that they're looking to have done. But where would you find, so let's just say, we encourage folks to get in the attic a couple times a year, particularly with the season changes, just so before the summer and after the summer, so you're not up there just cooking to death in the brutal heat. But what are some areas where you would see, if there were issues with flashings, be that penetration for chimney, vent pipes, the step flashing we're talking about, where a vertical surface meets a horizontal surface, where would that manifest in the attic typically?
Well, I think the most common place that you're going to see is around penetrations, around pipes sticking through the roof, and that's really because most houses today have a rubber flashing that is it's a boot that goes around the vent pipes that penetrate the roof. The sun degrades those. They crack, they split open, and then as water bounces off of the roof, or when it's just raining, it'll cling to that pipe and leak down through that opening. And that's where you're going to find most of your leaks. Generally speaking, if step flashing is put on the house, if it doesn't leak at the first rain or the second rain after it's installed, it's probably not going to leak. I mean, it can, but it's not. If it degrades, it maybe could leak. If the flashing is tore loose, or it's just one of those things. If it's installed properly and it's put on the roof from the beginning, it's going to last really the lifetime of the roof for sure. And actually, most roofers don't remove step flashing if it's underneath siding. John, it's because it's they don't take the siding off,
right?
So they reuse it. It's aluminum. If a step flashing leaks, it normally is because someone's put a nail where it doesn't belong. That's almost always the case.
All right, so let's be practical. What a thought. A lot of people may not. This is hard to believe. This is probably totally hard to believe, but a lot of people might not say, gee, John and Dave said to do this, so I'm going to stop everything in my life and go do it. Hard to believe, but that's probably not happening. So instead of going up in the attic and looking for, you know, inspecting, looking for leaks and challenges in certain places, it's like, okay, now there's a wet spot on my drywall in the ceiling. How do you sleuth that all the way back? I mean, I guess you got to get back in the attic, huh?
Yeah, if there's an attic above that potential or the leak that you're seeing or a stain on the ceiling, that's where you would want to go. I mean, that would be the first place to look, is around those pipes, and you'll see, it'll look like you see daylight because the pipe if the sun's shining is usually the best time to see if you have bright light coming in. But you'll have light that will come through the pipe, but you're actually looking for pure daylight around any penetrations in the roof. So most always where the vent pipes stick through. Sometimes it's an electrical mast. Those are a little tougher because they're over at the very side. But chances are if the water stain is near that pipe, any penetration, that's probably where it's coming through.
And I think the caution or what we would share is the leak may manifest at point A in the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
If you go in the attic, you want to follow a framing member or a pipe or something, because that water can run along the pipe or a rafter, and then until it has enough water to actually drip off. So where it manifests in the ceiling isn't directly underneath the potential, the leak source, correct?
Right. Correct. And a lot of times you'll have it because the vent may not be straight up and down.
Right. So we've got like a minute before a break, and Jim wants to talk about closing the attic space. I think we'll go to our break, Jim, if you don't mind hanging tight for a second. We'll rather than just get you on and put you on hold. So don't go away. We want to make sure we answer your question. We're talking about home improvement. We're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're at 704-570-1110. You can always go to AskJohnAndDave.com and click on the questions button. And get information to us and from us. There are lots of good information just on the website. Jim's called in. We're going to talk about closing in an attic space. We're going to talk about whatever else is important to you when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We are taking calls. Got two of them teed up here. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're going to go right to Jim. Jim, thank you for waiting through the break. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing fine. I appreciate your show.
Well, thanks for calling. How can we help?
Well, wanted to talk about the points of closing in an attic space. This is a second floor bedroom with a full-size door into what someone would think is a closet.
Mm-hmm.
When we first opened it, touring the house, it was actually a step-in storage area.
Okay. Yeah, Jim, I saw your note at AskJohnAndDave.com. I've been just covered up, and I haven't had time to answer emails this week. So I'm glad you called in. I was going to actually work on those this afternoon. So it's a great question. I'm glad you asked it before you got started, because that's what your email was talking about. And that's good thinking on your part. First of all, that attic area, is there a step down into that room, or is it at the same level? There's probably a threshold in that door, correct?
Yes, the door frame and a threshold.
That's an exterior door. So what they're doing is they're weatherproofing, and then actually that's probably a fire rated door as well to go into that attic. So what can happen as you develop this into a conditioned space, if you will, you could actually remove that threshold if you wanted to, once this becomes part of the house, and really probably would be better that you allow some conditioned air into that closet so you don't have mold or issues with too much heat buildup or too cold. After you get it done, even though we're going to insulate and do all the things that need to be done to make that part of the living space, you're going to want to ensure that you get a little bit of air movement into that closet. So hope that part makes sense.
Yes.
Okay. So are you going to be using part of the roof as a wall or a ceiling in this closet, or is there enough room for you to build a closet up and leave space around the outside walls of the closet?
I think it could have some room left, but your topic earlier spoke about vents coming through the roof, and we do have some plumbing and venting in that closet area.
Okay, so they could actually be moved. To a point, they could be moved over, but it gets expensive. So if there's a way to build around them, you would be better off to leave them if possible. But if they're right in the middle of the door when you go in, when you want to, that's the space you want to use, then you may have to get a plumber out, and you're going to need two people. You're going to need a plumber and a roofer to help you with that, because they'll have to not only flash around the pipe after it's moved, but they're going to have to patch the hole in the roof where the vent originally was, if that makes sense.
I took an angle finder, and the joists on that roof, they're at 45 degrees.
Yeah, so it's a 12-12 pitch. So that's...
And then it's very narrow. It's about 3 feet from the... at 6 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 3 feet to the door, so it's not a lot of room.
Okay, so it's dropping down pretty quick on you.
Yes.
So you're going to have an odd closet. So what has to happen? It's probably going to be shorter than that before you're done, because you have to put R38 insulation in that roof cavity. If the roof cavity or the existing rafters are going to be part of your ceiling joist, they'll have to be extended down with a 2x4 or a 2x6 to create space to put insulation in. And then you also have to install what's called an insulation baffle between the roof sheathing, the bottom of the roof sheathing, and the back of the insulation, so that air will be able to pass between the insulation and the roof deck and make its way up to the ventilation at the higher portions of the roof. That will have to be included. So you're probably going to need more than a handyman, unless the handyman has been doing general construction and is familiar with all of these things. I know that's what your note said. So whoever you hire is going to need to know all these things.
Correct. And the door to that area is a wooden door.
Mm-hmm.
And I, that gave me pause as to whether it was fire rated.
Well, it's probably solid. It's not hollow, is it?
I think it's solid.
Yeah, it's probably solid. That makes it, that'll make it a fire-rated door.
Okay.
So it's only a 20-minute door, even though it's wood. It would take several minutes for that door to burn through. And then also,
is it
just
a flush door, Jim, just like a slab door?
Regular door, like
flat.
Walk-in attic store.
Yeah, no panels or anything on it? Okay.
Panels. Yes, it has panels.
Yeah, it can have panels still, but it's a wood solid door. So, and then of course it's also because it's to climatize. So you have to have a solid door between those spaces. That's kind of what you're looking for. That's what I would do, Jim, is just get a full service contractor or handyman out that can take a look at that, and they can kind of guide you as to what you need to do, and if it's even viable, you know, if it's going to be worth it to you.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. We already have a large walk-in attic at the other end of the house.
Right.
So I told my wife it's probably going to be a very limited area that we would be able to actually close in.
Exactly. And the cost of that per square foot is probably not going to make sense when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I think, but all what right. you're going to get in space per dollar spent, Jim, may not be the wisest investment.
Yes, I think with that 45-degree angle pitch, it's not going to afford much space.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, fellas.
You're welcome. Sorry, hope we didn't rain on your parade.
That's sort of what I suspected.
All right, good. Well, I'm glad you called. Made sense for you to find that out before you got started on it. So
yes, keep up a good show. You get a lot of good topics.
Great, thanks. We appreciate you.
Thanks,
Very
Jim.
Good.
All right, let's see if we can get Lou in here. Lou, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Okay. How you doing, guys?
Great.
Great.
Hey, I've had a problem with a toilet flapper leaking, and doesn't matter how many flappers I put in there, the toilet continues to leak.
Sure.
You want to tackle
that?
Go ahead, Dave.
Where the flapper seats, Lou, when it lays down, that's hole that the water is going through. A lot of times we'll get a buildup on it, and it doesn't matter what type of flapper, as you said, you put on there, it won't seat. You need to go in there and clean that off.
Get a Scotch-Brite pad.
Exactly.
And scour it until you can rub your finger around that top flap until you feel it's all smooth. There's no like calcium or mineral buildup from the the water, and then you should be good to go.
Right.
If you're a little bit handy, Lou, I would go one step further and just consider replacing the entire thing. But clean off the seat first, not the toilet seat, but where the flapper sits down. If that doesn't work, then it's a very inexpensive and very easy fix just to take out the entire, just get a replacement fill valve, which has got the fill stock and the float and everything, and it'll solve the problem. But clean it off with a Scotch-Brite pad first, and it should solve the problem.
Yeah, I had gone to Home Depot and picked up what they call a repair kit.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I even tried putting that in, and that didn't help. And my plumber has advised me that needed to replace the entire toilet.
Well, I don't know if you need to replace the toilet unless the water's leaking out of the tank. But as John said, the fill tube and the flapper seat can be replaced. That's all one piece. And that's probably a little more cost effective than replacing the entire toilet, unless the toilet is older and it's using a lot of water. But if it's a 1.5 gallon toilet, I would consider repairing it. If it flushes good, and you're not having any other problems other than water leaking past the flapper. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
That's the only problem. Everything else is working fine.
That's That's what I would do then, is just do that. I bet you could find a video pretty quick on how to do that. And it's not really going to matter what the brand of toilet is. I mean, it could, but it probably won't. You probably find a video, and the directions that come with those parts are also very easy to follow.
Okay.
All right.
That's great. Appreciate the advice, guys.
Welcome.
Thanks for the call, Lou. Appreciate you. All right. We're going to wrap up the first hour. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're going to take a break. We'll be back to answer your questions. We've got lines open at 704-570-1110, so give us a call. We'll talk about your home improvement questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We are ready to take your calls. We're at 704-570-1110. We're going to, and it looks like Mark is going to be the perfect segue for a transition from our roof to some sidewalls and some penetrations there. But before we do anything else, we want to talk to Mark. Mark, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Hey, good morning, guys. I appreciate you guys listening to you every Saturday.
Thanks.
Well, thank you for that.
You're welcome. We moved into a home years ago, and it was built by an individual, I think, instead of like a building company. And when mm-hmm. he put the vent that runs from the dryer, that tube that goes through the wall and out to the outside to blow the hot air out. Mm-hmm. It's not standard diameter. I can't remember the diameter now, but I've looked it up several times. I've been to Lowe's and Home Depot and all kind of places trying to find a vent cover so birds or something like that wouldn't get up in it. Luckily, they haven't so far. What would you suggest that I could use to make a homemade vent cover? Granted, I would want to be able to open it where I could get I've got my rod with the attachment where I can run it up in there and pull any lint out. I do that every so often and mm-hmm. then blow it out from the other end.
Is it
some kind of cover?
Yeah, Mark, just quick question. Is it a conventional hood coming out the wall now that's got, you know, the 45 or 20, 30, some whatever the angle is? Or is it just a opening in the wall?
No, it's got, well, best I can tell from whenever I try to run anything down from inside where the dryer is, where the tube opening is, it goes down. And then there is an angle right there. There's a bend, and then it goes out straight out through the wall to the outside.
When you're looking at the outside wall, what do you see, a hole, or do you see like a cover on it? Just a hole. Okay.
There was a cover at one time, but it had broken off. Mm-hmm. Really pretty much before, or it's about pretty much destroyed when we moved in. So I've never had a cover on the outside of it leading out.
Right.
And well, I can't find one because the diameter of the pipe is smaller than the standard size that
okay.
I can find.
Okay.
And what kind of siding do you have? Go ahead then.
No, that's exactly what I was going to ask. What's on the exterior of the house?
Siding, but where that is, I'm on a crawl.
Okay.
So it's kind of where that hole is below
the siding coming out the foundation.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just a hole there.
Okay. and there's a duct and there's a duct in a piece of metal duct in the hole.
In the hole.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, it's a pipe or ducting.
So really you could just buy a 4-inch you could buy a 4-inch hood, whether it just be the pop up louvers or the one that has a damper door, and you don't put the pipe on it and make it keep it flush, and then just mount it over the hole, just center it over the hole. Since the pipe is if the pipe is to the edge of the brick, the exhaust air is gonna force that vent open, whether it be just regular louvers that will flip up, or uh-huh. if it's a damper. So and then you'll just fasten the hood or the dampered cover to the brick.
I would put a little bit of sealant behind there to keep the to get a seal, so you don't get water
yeah, you
between
could,
the the back of the flange of the hood and the wall itself, because I'm still a bit unclear what that siding is. But
he said it's through the foundation, so he's
okay.
Under,
so it's masonry.
It's underneath the siding.
Yeah, okay, we have vinyl siding. It come and underneath that is right below it. Basically, is where the hole is. Comes
sure.
Out of
yes. So is that masonry or frame? I don't. It's okay.
No, I'm sorry. The question I was going to ask, it doesn't matter if it's a vented cover, like with slots in it, because you say when it's running, blowing air, as long as it's a light cover, lightweight cover, it's going to push that open.
It'll push it open. That's correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then as John said, when you stick it on there, just put a bead of caulk on the top. Just so any blowing rain or anything will never get won't get down in there. It's on the foundation, so it's probably not a huge deal, but that'll keep it from getting in the pipe. And it's always just it's always better to have a little silicone or something back there.
I understand exactly what you guys have said to me. I appreciate it. One last thing before you go, I just thought of, what is your recommendation for the best kind of in-house? I have a well. We have a well on our property. A best in-house purification system for drinking water. Our water tested great, neutral all the time, but my wife still doesn't trust it, and so I'd like to get something so we could use our actual well water instead of buying bottled water all the time.
I put in a Water Boss water softener. Have you ever had your water tested?
He said, yeah, test.
Every other year and a half, probably.
We've okay, good.
By the county, and they say everything looks great.
You could run it through a Water Boss filter. You could just set the water's not hard. We use one. We have city water, but this filters the water, and it also for us it removes the chlorine. It's called a City Boss, but we've barely used 3 bags of salt, and we're coming up on 2 years.
Okay, so. But I guess I was thinking more of maybe a kitchen under the
yeah.
counter.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think for that.
Yeah, for one.
Yeah, time. So Mark, for that, just go to the store and pick up an under sink filter, or put a whole house filter in and use a charcoal filter as a charcoal filter element, and that should solve the problem. If everything else coming into the house is good, that would be a little less expensive way to go.
Yep.
And you could do it at a single point for the kitchen, or you could. It would not be radically difficult to install it at the main coming in, and then everything gets filtered.
Okay. All right, guys. Thank you so much once again for your help, and you guys have a great weekend.
You too.
Thanks. You too, Mark. Appreciate your call. All right, folks, we got to take a little break. We'll be back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show, 704-570-1110. We'll talk after these important messages. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about your home improvement question. We're kind of going over, we started with roofing and flashings and just keeping the winter out, keeping the water out, keeping stuff out. Great call with the dryer vent. It took us, it was a nice segue, David, from, from the roof in the top of the house to the side walls, because I wanted to spend a minute. There's some benefits in dealing with penetrations on the side of the house. There's energy benefits for it, but there's also pest benefits and water benefits and things like that. And I think the question on the dryer vent was a good one. Let's just talk about some places that are going out the sidewall. So you have a dryer vent. You have if you have an outdoor spigot. Probably have a penetration there, and then probably outdoor receptacles. The wire is going through the wall at some point. If it's coming out, there's different things. If you've got plumbing and so on through the slab, a little less critical. I mean, you want to seal it, but you're probably not getting water in where it's going to do potential damage to framing members. But certainly, if you've got a frame wall but it's penetrating, we definitely want to make sure we seal those things up. Yeah.
Absolutely. Bathroom vents and some exhaust vents from stoves can
correct. And then the charged lines for your air conditioning
yes.
are typically going through the side of the house mm-hmm. somewhere, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's actually it's a code at this point. All those penetrations have to be sealed.
And what do we seal them with?
Normally, you have to seal it with some type of on the exterior or where it could be subject to moisture, silicone or a polyurethane adhesive is what's supposed to be used around those products. And even the top of light fixtures are sealed as well, believe it or not. Even if
go ahead.
So if it's even as it's mounted on a box or a siding block or whatever, they like to see you put silicone on the top of the light fixture, normally a clear, and then that way any water that may get on top of that light fixture box or the back of the light fixture cannot make its way down into the electrical connections.
All right. So there's just a lot of benefits of water penetration and then air infiltration. Let's talk for a second about sealing up from air infiltration perspective, and because I've seen a lot of and I am a great stuff fan, like the spray foam fan, mm-hmm. The right one, the right product used in the right place, but I've also seen it where it's just been oozing out from different penetrations and it's the wrong product.
Well, yeah, and it's not supposed to be exposed to sunlight anyway.
Exactly, right. It just because the sun will, well, you can tell it turns like an orangish color, I mm-hmm. guess, almost when it's just been exposed to the UV from the sun. So let's talk for a second about the right products to use, because you can actually get some pest. We talked about sealing for water. We talked about sealing for energy reasons, but also sealing those penetrations can keep the pests out. And in the right application, there is a great stuff version called Pest Block, and it's actually got an insecticide in it, correct?
Correct.
So have you ever used that?
I have. I bought several cans on a discount one time. I think Home Depot was getting rid of it. And what we bought several cans. I think they were 50 cents a can or something.
Oh, wow.
We ended up throwing most of it away, but still.
Well, I want to talk about that too, but that's another conversation, like actually using great stuff. They've come up with a better straw,
yes.
or dispenser, because that original version was like a freaking nightmare. But anyway, so I think just a couple things on that point. Number one is you got to pick the right product. If you're going through certain applications, like if you're trying to seal penetrations into a wall cavity or into an attic cavity, I think, David, you really need to use a fire block version. Am I correct?
Yes. Anytime you're going from floor to floor, fire block is what you have to use.
And there's a version of great stuff for that. And then there's the pest block. And I think. Though using that versus just a regular foam into those spaces is a really good way to keep the pests out and to seal up for the winter time. David, you use I wrote down like product of the week ! I don't know. I'm saying this week's product of the week. I'm going off script and saying it's great stuff. I like the different versions that are there for the pest block, for the fire block. You can get a low expanding version so that you can use it. When I did all of our, when I replaced all the windows in the house, every cavity, around, in addition to my flashing and what have you on the outside, all those cavities got filled with the blue version. It's low expanding. So I wasn't going to just jack up the jam.
It's an important point for people to realize that using the proper foam, if you use the large expansion foam at a door or a window, there's a pretty good chance that it's going to push that frame out of shape. That's how strong it is. Well, I mean, DryPro uses it to lift concrete back up sidewalks. I mean, it's applied in a different method, but it's essentially the same, almost the same product.
Yeah. So close the door. put that high expanding foam in there and never open the door again. What a great way to seal the weather out. But seriously, do take a look. There are different ones, and where you're penetrating from, as David, I think that's a good way to say it, from floor to floor inside, you do want to use the fire block version. And you solve so many problems in one thing. So that's my audible for Home Depot product of the week this week.
Right. Yeah. Good. Great product. And then for folks that we talked about the straw or the dispenser tube that comes with that, it actually, you can turn it on and off. It has you pull it or push it and it'll keep the foam from coming out. Anybody that's ever used that foam in a can knows that it'll keep coming out and expanding on you. But this has a valve and it actually you can turn it off. The trick to that foam is to clean up the can. If you're going to try to reuse it, it won't last for a long time, but you could probably keep it up to a year, I would imagine, once it's been opened. Mm-hmm. But you really need to clean the straw out. And you can buy the cleaner that's normally, they're out of it right now at the store I visit, but the cleaner is should be on hand if you're using that foam. So think about that, because if you get it on anything, you have to wait for it to dry to be able to scrape it off. But if it gets down into the pores or anything like that, you're going to be it's going to be on it permanently. You won't get it off. Once it's dry, it's hard to get it off of anything.
Yeah, it's there.
Pretty is tough stuff.
Is that an acetone base?
I'm not sure.
I won't say because I don't know. I'll be quiet on that.
We'll come. I know we're coming up against a break, so we'll discuss it when we come back. But great product. If you have to spray a lot of foam, I have a foam gun. That's what the pros use, and it's great for dispensing the foam and being able to control it a little bit better. So if you have a lot of penetrations to fill, if you're doing a lot of air sealing or whatnot, it's the perfect thing. And as John said, they have the fire foam too. So if you want to seal up where wires and pipes go through the attic into the walls, it's a good product to use.
There we go. All right, we're going to take a break, folks. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're at 704-570-1110, and we have some lines open, 704-570-1110. Get your questions ready, and we'll talk about home improvement when we return from these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Give us a call. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Kind of going through all kinds of stuff. Spent a lot of time on roofing, roof flashing, keeping the water out, keeping the weather out. Talked about some side walls. One of the things that I had written down, David, that was just kind of an afterthought as we were talking about dealing with penetrations through the side wall, and we talked about the charge lines for your air conditioner. We've had lots of questions over the years about, you know, where you've got to go up one and a half stories with a charge line to get to the unit. It's not the most aesthetically pleasing thing on the side of your house. And you can paint it to match the siding on the house, but there's a couple other trickier ways to hide those, right?
Yes.
During the installation, you can put them in a downspout.
Right.
But there's actually a product that mounts to the side of the wall and it's got a little cap on it and actually just cover, right?
Correct.
I think that's a worthwhile. I don't know that we're going to elevate it to product of the week, but I think it's just something worthwhile to take a look at. Especially if you're getting ready to address, you know, sealing it off, or you're getting ready to paint your house. Or, you know, or reside the house. It's a great opportunity. It's a great time to make that change and make it a little bit more aesthetically pleasing, as it were. David, one of the things we talked about in our first thing of all the stuff we wanted to go over, there were two things that I would love, while we got a little bit more time left here, to talk about. Number one was just protecting products or outdoor furniture and things that have to stay outside through the winter time. And maybe before I say that, here's just, we'll just call this our unofficial tip for the week. If you've got like fabric umbrellas or, you know, umbrellas that you use for shade that you're going to get ready to bring down and put up for the winter. On a nice day, before you put them up, with little sun, or if you can do it in the garage in a dry space, spray it down with some concrobium, and then let it dry, and then put them up for the winter. I think you'll discover that it prevents like mildew or things that may have gotten on there over the summer. It just kind of kills all that stuff and keeps it from growing over the winter. Or you pull it out in the spring, ready to have a nice scenario again, and you realize I've got to replace it because it's just got nasty mildew all over it. So that's just an unofficial tip. But David, you've used some different products, and we talk about it in the springtime to protect things, but it might be a good way to do it for the winter. Maybe before we do that, though, I see Steve joined us. Let's get Steve on the air first, huh?
Sure.
Steve, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. Listen to your show and love it. I got a question for you. I've lived in my house for about 28 years. I have a pretty large house, two stories with a basement and an attic. I use an office upstairs. And I recently had all the ductwork changed. Within the last 2 years, all the ductwork was changed. The house was built in 1987. And I had a heat blanket put up on the third floor to deflect some of the heat that we were getting as the summers get hot. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed over the summer I'm getting some moisture up on the third floor in the children's closets. Now, it's just me and the wife. The kids are all grown. But in the closets, on the clothes, I'm getting this white powdery, I guess it's mildew.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was assured by the people that put this blanket in that, you know, it was going to help radiate the heat off the house and regulate the temperature inside the house, which makes sense to me. But what I'm seeking is someone who can come to the house that can give me a very professional opinion as to where this mildew and how it's forming as a result of you know, the things that we've done inside the house, so that I can alleviate the problem. I just don't have anybody that can come to the house that I can trust to give me that opinion. I just don't know where to turn to.
Well, it sounds so you didn't have this problem before they put the heat blanket in, correct?
That's correct. Not as much. I mean, it may have been there a little bit, but not as much as we're seeing it now.
Okay.
David, I'm wondering if ventilation got covered in the process of installing the blanket.
Well, yeah. Or is that heat that it's blocking making its way back down? Did they lay it over the joist, or did they put it on the rafters?
They laid it over the joist. It's not really a heat blanket. It's not even like 2 or 3 ply. It's not very thick, and it's reflect.
Right.
You know, it's got
that's
surface on it.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I've seen this before. It causes a problem because what it's doing is it's trapping moisture.
Yeah.
It's trapping moisture in the joist cavities.
That's the
problem. That product actually doesn't belong over the insulation. It belongs up on the rafters themselves. It's much harder install. And that's why. Go ahead.
Well, it's not. It's not, I'm sorry, maybe I was not clear. It's not, it's installed on the rafters. They installed it with a staple gun.
Okay.
Put insulation in
there.
That's better.
That's better.
And is it ventilated still? The ventilation is above, do you have a ridge vent, or how's the attic ventilated?
Well, this is a 5,000 square foot house, and upstairs there's a complete floor that's enclosed. There are four doors that go off from the third floor into unheated space.
Correct.
But Steve, let's talk about the unheated space. So in the unheated space, what's the ventilation? Is there a ridge vent at the top and then soffit vents on the side? How does heat and air move out of the attic?
I can't answer that question because, like I said, I've lived in it 28 years and we never had the problem, so I didn't.
Okay. Got it. All right, let's do this. Let's do this, Steve. I'll put you on hold for a second because we snuck a little bit past the break here. But there's a couple things we can help you with, at least, and it might be a two-stage call, but we can get it figured out. Folks, this is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. We're going to put Steve on hold. We're going to take a little break. We'll be back to get Steve squared away and you squared away when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're going to jump right back on the line with Steve, who was waiting through the break there for us. Got a little bit of mildew problem. We're thinking it's a function of a heat barrier that was installed. Pardon me. Steve, thanks for waiting through the break. You said you weren't sure of what the attic ventilation scenario looks like. Our suspicion would be that the installation of that heat blanket has blocked some sort of ventilation or movement of air in the attic. And you can send us an email at any time at askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button with some feedback. But here's what I think we would tell you to do. Get into the attic space, the unfinished attic space, on a sunny day with all the lights off. And what we want you to do is just to look around where the roof line hits the sloped roof line rafters hit the floor joists in the attic. And you should see daylight around there if soffit vents are the solution. You can also go to the outside of the house, Steve, and just look up at the eaves and see if there's perforated soffit or soffit vents in the eave. If that's the case, then the idea would be that those are inputs. And then the output would be either a gable vent or some static roof vents. And those would be, you would find those by looking on the gable wall to see if there's a rectangular vent, or sometimes it's a triangular vent that just fits right up in the peak of that wall. Or you'll see in the roof deck above you just circles cut, and there's a static roof vent there. So the air would come in the soffits and exit either the gable vent or those circular vents. The third option, and probably the most common now, is a ridge vent. And there again, you would look up and you should see daylight all along the ridge at the top. And it's my guess, and David certainly encouraged you to weigh in on that. My guess is somewhere in the application of that barrier, they have blocked either one of the soffit vents or most of the soffit vents coming in, or they've blocked the ridge vent for the air to exit. And as a result, it's not as bad as laying that barrier straight over the insulation and the joists, but you're still trapping moisture in the attic space, right? So because there's more air up there, it's not as radical as if you had, you know, we're trapping everything from the living space, you know, up into the attic. But I would guess that would be the scenario. And so the first thing we would tell you to do is go take a peek at where the air is coming in for intakes in the attic and where it's exiting, and make sure that blanket hasn't blocked it.
Okay. I understand that completely. Just a couple of comments and then I'll let you go, because I know.
Sure. No, go for it. No, it's okay.
There is no static attic fan on the third floor anywhere. The roof was repaired or was replaced about 8 years ago. There's no ridge vent that I know of. I built houses for a period of time, so I know what you're talking about.
Okay, perfect.
And the inside of that attic, there is nowhere for the air to get in, because I have crown molding, I have no gutters, and I have a federal style house. There's no soffits on the outside.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's nowhere for the air to get in or get out.
Okay. Yeah. So that's part of the problem. So, I tell you what, Steve, I do that. I can come to your house and look at all that. I do that for people pretty often. And do a little consulting, and I can probably help you sort this out.
And that would be fabulous.
Make some recommendations. So if you would, just send us a note to the website, AskJohnAndDave.com. I'll get those notes and I'll put your contact information in there, and I will get in touch with you.
Okay, buddy. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Steve, great question. Bye-bye. Thank you for the call, sir.
All right, man. See ya.
Yeah, bye. Kudos to Steve for dealing with that now before it was a disaster, but you'll go see.
And you know, this is it's a fairly common problem with closets that flank an attic, because it's usually so hot on the one side, and then on the inside you have cool air, you have no ventilation, and what happens is that condensation, in fact, is what you get. It's just it creates moisture in that closet, and of course, yep, when there's clothing and whatnot, it can cling to it. And then of course, then the mold, once the mold spores are, they're on everything everywhere, they're going to grow, give it the environment and it'll grow. I mean, if we could only grow our shrubs and plants that easy, right?
Or hair.
Yeah. And hair. Exactly. a lot of times the solution to closet spaces, and I've had pretty good luck with this through the years, is installing a vent high and a vent low. Now, obviously, the first thing we like to do is make sure there's an undercut under the door so there's some ventilation. But sometimes you have to help out the closet with ventilation. So we just basically buy a non-operable register cover. It's really more for a return. You put one on the inside, one on the outside of the wall, high, and one low. And the air will pass through, and that gives it a way to exchange that air. And a lot of times that takes care of it. But you really do have to go in and empty the closet. You have to clean everything. You have to wipe the walls down with Concrobium. And then, of course, you put the ventilation in, or even an air duct, John, is not out of the question. A small four-inch air supply, and undercut the door. But you have to have some return air. You have to be able to wait for air in and air out. And that's the key to it. But if it has mildew in there, you have to clean it up and get rid of all of it, and then do the ventilation, and then I think you're fine.
Yeah, and I think when Steve goes up, or when you go take a look at that, there may be even some things that you take a look at in the attic.
Oh yeah, we're definitely
going to. Says he has. Yeah,
we're going to look at that.
Vents, so
I wish that I would have been able to consult with him before they did the foil barrier, since he had no ventilation to begin with. Attic was a prime candidate for foam.
Yeah.
That would have taken care of all of that issue right then and there. I can't tell you enough how excited and we've been with the outcome of foaming our attic. What a difference, you know, the utility bills, and people will be looking into that a little bit more this year as natural gas prices rise. And
yeah, it's pretty insane, and it's going to be more insane, I think. And the message is clear from our leadership. It's like, hey, just lower your expectations a little bit. So I think the message is, no, I mean, I'm not being a smart aleck when I say that. I think the message is like, we don't anticipate any changes in the foreseeable future. So I think it's incumbent on us to do the very best things we can to protect our investments and try to manage budgets. So it's just good advice. The only caution I would give, and we give this every time, and David, I think you said you use Austin Insulating, they don't pay us to say that or anything. Just a very long-standing, reputable organization. Who you choose to put foam insulation, it is very important. Because it is a mix. You do have to put chemicals together to get things to do what they're supposed to do. And an incorrect mix can off-gas for a longer period of time or incorrectly, and it's a serious issue. So you want to choose a reputable and experienced company to do that work for you. I think that's the only caution that I have. Just there are some serious ramifications if it's installed incorrectly. So I guess that's my...
That's correct.
Go figure. Right? Hey,
no,
here's
no.
John. Hey, John's advice: get it installed right.
We've both seen the other side of that when it doesn't work, and heard the horror stories. So yeah,
and it's not good.
Make sure you're using someone reputable.
But all right, look, I think we've wrapped up another 2 hours. Unbelievable. It goes screaming by so fast. Folks, we really appreciate your joining. All the kind comments and great questions that we get either by email or on the air. Most grateful for what y'all do as listeners to make David and I enjoy this as much as we do. We always like to remind you that we think that the most important kind of home improvement you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. Don't forget to work on that this week, and we'll see you next week on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show.